Now, for anyone out there who maybe hasn't heard our previous chats or is unfamiliar with the School of Really Good Sex, give us a little quick rundown about what it is you do.
The School of Really Good Sex produces festivals and now mentorship programs to help people to become more informed, more mature, more creative, more free when it comes to sexuality, love, intimacy.
I think that's wonderful. I've always say that I think that this is wonderful, and I always walk away from our conversations feeling a lot braver when it comes to sex and sexuality than I do walking into them. Sometimes I sit here and I think, oh, maybe I'm a bit of a prude, but then I walk away from our conversations and I feel a bit Xena Princess Warrior, very empowered.
It's very interesting how quickly that can change.
It is a turn of a dime. It's really crazy. So you've had...
And change back again.
And then change right on back. I walk out with all this confidence and then I'm like, oh dear.
Yeah.
Now, since we last saw you, you headed over to Berlin for the Explore Festival.
Correct.
Yeah. What happened over there? Are you bringing any of that back to
Absolutely.
This festival?
Absolutely. The festival began actually as Explore because I worked and attended Explore for many years before I started producing festivals in Australia. And I sort of go back there and teach there. And I certainly get a lot of inspiration from going to that festival.
Mm. So tell me what the focus of this year's Into the Wild is.
This year I really made a conscious effort to respond to the place. Like that we're in the nature, we're in the bush, we're on country.
Mm.
And I was very touched last year that an Aboriginal person came and offered actually to do an acknowledgement of country. Not simply at the beginning of the festival, but as something that would sustain us through the festival and through the transitions. And so I began to think about how can we curate a festival that is really responsive. So we have like, you know, letting the trees talk to us, and we have about the wild beast, you know, we
mating calls.
Mating calls.
I saw that one
in there
as well.
Right. That's right.
I love it. Would love to see how that one is going to unfold. That one was the one that really interested me. It's like, okay, I'm down. This is cool. And then you've got kind of, is it a 12-hour period of, or 24-hour period
24
of silence
hour period
as well?
24-hour period without talking.
Yeah.
Which is not silence exactly.
No. Yeah.
But without talking. Yeah. I experienced that at another festival recently in Germany called the Love Art Festival. They had this 24-hour period. And of course, it makes people more introspective, but it also, when you take away one possibility, then all the other ones become more enhanced. So it can allow for very fine kind of erotic and intimate experiences.
I can imagine. The elements of communication amongst the festival must be a very interesting layer to it all as well, because of course it isn't communication in one form, i.e. talking. There's a lot, it seems, of give and take between people.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talking, obviously, and a lot of like eating together, relaxing together, just hanging out.
Mm.
But what we do at the opening is we kind of set the frame for the kinds of communication that people should have, particularly around intimacy or contact. And that's very, very important.
Mm.
You know, we really empower people to say no. Like we do a lot of like practicing and different ways you can say no, different ways you can receive a no. And then, you know, how you can say yes maybe later. And, you know, what kinds of communication are not acceptable, making that very, very clear. And so once you've done that and you also, you know, allow people to, you know, make mistakes, allow people to and teach, have an ethics of compassion, and then tends to avoid problems.
It seems like a very trusting space that you're curating.
Yeah, I think that the nurturing part of it has to do with the structure, because that you know, you the day is structured by the workshops, which are held by people who are very gentle.
Yeah.
So that helps to create trust, and but we also very much encourage an ethic of self-responsibility. So we, in a way, we don't tell the people how to interact exactly. We tell them, okay, what not to do. But we're not telling them what to do.
Okay.
And And then we encourage people to develop and cultivate in themselves a sense of what is good for them and what is not good for them.
So you create a kind of a lot of sex. Obviously, it's all about creating a sex positive space.
Yes, exactly.
And creating places in which people are encouraged and safe to explore sex and sexuality. What would you say is the essence of creating a sex positive space?
The permission.
Okay. It's a pretty simple one, yeah, the permission.
It's the permission, and also, which also means the permission not to. This is really, really important.
Mm.
Because people think, okay, you're going this way, then you have to, or you must, or and if you don't, you know, have lots of amazing sexual experiences, you're somehow a loser. And this is something we really consciously fight against, the kind of peer pressure that always arises with a group.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, because we can't do this in the regular society, suddenly there's a lot of, like, anticipation, expectation, you know.
It's like Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's like Christmas Eve. Yeah, we get all our presents. And but if you get a little bit more mature with it, you actually realize that it can be just as valuable not to. And but just to be in a space where it's allowed,
yeah,
where the permission is there, it changes a lot.
Do you think that that's one of the biggest misconceptions people have about the festival, is that it's just about going and having a lot of sex,
yes,
with strangers?
Yeah, definitely. This is the stereotype, and they think swingers club.
Yeah. Speaking not of swingers, but of clubs, there was something that I saw that I've been very curious to ask you about, opium parties.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Okay, so a friend of mine who's coming from Berlin, his name is Dr. Tiva, it's not his real name, and he produces a party in Berlin called the Opium Dance Party. And so I kind of invited him to do a mini version of that. But realistically, what we found last year was that it's very nice after all of this kind of very intense thing to end the festival with a dance party.
Yeah.
You just dance around.
Have fun.
Get it out.
Get loose.
Yeah, get loose. You know, maybe take the clothes off, maybe not. But it's not, the focus isn't sex.
No.
And that I think is very nice. It's a very good way to close.
Yeah. So it's 3 days of kind of talks and workshops and interactive experiences. And
yes,
then 3 days of kind of more drawn out, more focused.
Thank you for asking, because the integration in a way is the most important part. And what I like to say about the integration is that it doesn't have a planned structure.
Okay.
And this, of course, terrifies people.
It terrifies me.
Yeah, yeah. They think, how can I go into the nothing? But this is actually very, very important, because when you go without an expected plan, then suddenly, of course, you arrive at yourself.
Mm.
And you discover very quickly that things always happen. It's not that nothing happens.
You're not going to sit there always and twiddle your happen, thumbs.
You know,
yeah.
And then, of course, with the group, decisions are made about what people would like to do, and people make propositions, and the stronger propositions tend to be the ones that happen. And when you have a lot of creative people together, as we will have, it's inevitable that really interesting things will happen. So I actually like to say the integration is actually a space that isn't planned, even though we have some proposals and some suggestions if you look at the schedule,
yeah,
about what probably will happen but may not happen.
Yeah.
What's very, very important in integration is the yoga class in the morning.
Mm.
That grounds the people. We really insist on that. I mean, you don't have to come, but we insist that that's something that happens. But yeah, and I've of course found a lot of people who are just used to controlling everything and controlling time, that like this is the most, and of course this is the thing that they most need to learn.
Yeah, there's a lot in the program that will push you, but I think that will push people the most,
yeah,
to try, yeah, something a bit different. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of different flavors to taste,
yeah,
in the festival this year,
yeah,
but I think that as, yeah, you said, will be the thing that pushes people most. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there, but Dr. Vanky, thanks for coming
this
morning.